Hey, this is Truck Roy here. We're on the Riding Shotgun Show, and I have Horace with me here. How you doing, Horace?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to be with you again. This is our fourth show together, I believe.
Fourth. Okay, I was thinking third. But time flies when you're having fun. I was looking forward to going to this Ameren conference this upcoming weekend, and it looks like it's not going to happen, and I'm a little ticked off about that.
Well, you know, the indigenous white rabbits of Europe are the wacky rabbits. They're extremely unique. They're the only rabbits in the world that will get together and stop white rabbits from getting together as white rabbits to support white rabbits. It's extremely unique. White rabbits fighting white rabbits because they want to be white rabbits. It's only they will do it.
Yeah, have you ever seen an NAACP conference, a colored people's conference, a Negro conference, where Africans show up and try to shut down other Africans from holding a meeting?
No, the only rabbits on this planet that do that are white rabbits. Race is so real that you will have white rabbits calling up Derek Black's AM radio show and arguing that he shouldn't want to help white rabbits.
Well, you know why they got to do that, Horace, is because they've got to protect the poor Negroes from evil racists like Derek Black.
You would find that if you had a conference in the blackest rabbit part of town, they could care less and probably more susceptible, more receptive to your message and more honest, have a more honest dialogue than your average anti-white or the pro-white genocide whites. You will find that even Dr. David Duke can have very good relationships with an African leader, or even your steely-eyed lone wolfers, the ones that are so dangerous, can go in and talk to an African nationalist and have no problems at all working out deals and whatnot. But this is internal to us, and it is mostly caused from demoralization. True information won't mean anything, but you can stand there and bounce talking points off them time and time again, and they will start looking stupid to everyone in the room but a handful of white rabbits that agree with them, and that's what's funny about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've had this experience in my own personal life because I've had a job where I used to spend weeks on end with one other coworker, and a lot of times they were black, and I used to spend, you know, 6-8 weeks at a time living in the cab of a truck with one other person. You get to know them real well. And there's a lot of Africans that I had frank discussions with things on with them. And, you know, at first I get a little bit that, you know, you're crazy or whatever. But pretty soon, you know, there's just no issue there at all, because every other race except for the white folks, our racial loyalty is pretty much second nature. You know, it's not something they have to think about. And so they expect that white folks are racial. I mean, this is why no matter how much liberals kiss butt to blacks, the blacks always say, yeah, but you're secretly racist. Because, I mean, they think everybody's
that is,
like
that
them.
Their racial nature is to be racial. Most of the listeners that there's a handful that take umbrage to my show where I say that the white rabbit is not racial by nature, and that is racial. That is its racial nature.
Let me clarify for listeners that are slow-witted like myself. What he means there is that, you know, the fact that we don't acknowledge race, the fact that we talk about some of these issues, you'll never hear black people discussing the issues that we discuss as regards to race and equality and things like that. Those conversations don't happen in their living rooms. And so since we're the only people that do that, white people are, that in itself shows you that race is real.
Oh, yeah. You will not have – I mean, we have a whole entire media which is basically – the only ones we actually have arguments or fights with are by and large white people.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny. You know, you won't see a Chinese stormfront trying to advocate making sure Chinese children survive. You won't see one in Japan or Africa or India or Turkey or Saudi Arabia, some stormfront for Arabs to make sure they survive. Only white rabbits have to have that to fight white rabbits.
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, you're not going to have
race that real.
It is. I mean, you're not going to have somebody in Japan saying, well, I think Japan should be for Japanese people, and the Japanese media jumps up and says, what are you, a Japanese separatist? You know, I mean, It's second nature for everybody
else. There are, in America, there are approximately 200, or there were last time I checked, there's 269 area codes. You will find that there is only really one of those types, these hardcore pro-white genocide, anti-white whites, in every area. There's only one, or one for every two areas. All you have to do is counter that with a consistent message, and you can isolate them. The average white doesn't want to deal with them, but they don't want to lose their job. They will start standing up for themselves more and more if you give them something to say, but, you know, they don't want to say something and, of course, you know, lose everything they own or anything like that. But that's what our job is.
Right, right. Well, you know,
you can sit there. There is no arguing with them, but that you can sit there and bounce talking points off them for a half an hour and make them look silly.
Yeah.
And when they say they want to genocide or they want whites, you just have the actually like you can't hear them saying, "Could you please repeat that?" And then they'll say it, and you say, "I still couldn't hear you." And they'll say it louder and louder. People look at them like they're nuts.
Oh yeah, I mean, because they're
black rabbits look at them like they're nuts. That's what you want. You want to expose their mental insanity. And you can do it time and time again with that talk.
Well, you know, you and I have a mutual friend there, Lord Nelson, who did that. You know, he went into a bar and arranged a get together with a liberal who was coming out against us, and she brought a Mexican friend, a Mexican in England. I don't know what a Mexican was doing in England, but she brought a Mexican friend with her who she thought would help her position, and what Lord Nelson did is he basically got her to admit that she would rather the African children have a future than her own children have a future, and everybody there, including the Mexican, just laughed at her.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous at a while. I mean, it gets totally ridiculous. And what they will do is they will do what's called the double defense. That's what old Bob Whitaker calls it. And it is something you will see. What they will say is they are not trying to justify genocide. But later on in the conversation, what they will always do, because they are programmed, they are heavily programmed. I did an episode on these guys, one of the Foul White Rabbit MP3s. What they will always do is you will catch them justifying genocide or dispossession. And what they will do is they will say, well, America deserves immigrants because of what it did to the Indians. The United Kingdom, the children of the United Kingdom deserve immigrants because they colonialized the world. It'll always be something. The Germans deserve Turkish immigration because of Nazis. And then you just call them out and say, wait a minute, you just said you weren't trying to genocide European children. Now you're justifying it under something they supposedly did 100 years ago or 300 years ago. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you're not trying to genocide them or try to wipe them out and now sit here and justify harming them under something their ancestors supposedly did or didn't do. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
And you can point that out time and time again. They won't really know what to do. And maybe the listeners aren't aware of what Article 2 of the Convention of Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide really is. Would you like me to say that? It's pretty simple.
Give me a second. Bring that to me here in a second. You know, I wanted to say to the listeners what he just said there. You know, when they start saying, okay, well, America deserves to bring in a bunch of people from all over the nation because you killed all the Indians or whatever, basically, you can at that point, you can pin them down and say, so you think that white people ought to be marginalized or driven off because or assimilated in with a larger group of non-whites because of some crime they did in the past. So whatever they're saying, whether it's the Indians or whatever reason they're giving you that we deserve this, you can right there you can say, so you're saying that is the reason why we should be genocided? Because, I mean, that's what it gets down to. Right at that point, you see their motivation. They see that their motivation is not equality, their motivation is not helping anybody, their motivation is extracting vengeance on white people, usually their own people. These are really self-hating people. They really want to hurt white people. Generally,
well, they are heavily programmed, and you cannot argue with a heavily demoralized, programmed nutball. What you can do is you can set them up time and time again, and you will wake up more whites in that area to the actual position than any other time. But what you really have to do is get into their heads, and it can be done with a consistent message.
Oh yeah,
you have to have someone talented do it. But you know, most people do not understand the laws for genocide on an international level and that stuff like that. Now, America has never signed on to this, but that, you know, certain elements on this planet will never sign on to these type of conventions and stuff like that. The United Kingdom has, and most other countries have, but that doesn't really matter when you're in the hole like we are. And that's where the fear comes in. But genocide is simply killing members of the group, causing serious bodily harm or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. This is deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. That is Article 2 of the Convention of Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide from 1948, which defines it. And that is pretty much what goes. Obviously, it's kind of controversial. A lot of groups argue that some of the stuff isn't genocide, but that's usually what holds. That is what they're afraid of. What is odd is that you have a group of people trying to wipe out their own people. I mean, the head of the Lakota Indian tribe, the chief of Lakotas, does not try to replace his Indians and that type of thing. That's never been done in the history of the world, something like this. So it is very unique.
Right.
But there is fear based on the law.
We get new listeners all the time. So for people who are not, you know, aware of the facts here, I mean, white folks are less than 10% of the world's population, and hundreds of millions of non-whites are being flooded into our nations.
We also have a massive amount of land. We're across the whole top of the planet. So you got to look at it both ways. But yes, we are very few, and we don't have a rabbit hole. We got this problem. We have the whole top of the planet, but we don't have a home. It's a very weird situation. No one wants us.
Yeah, let me throw a couple more statistics out there because, you know, I know a lot of you guys have heard this stuff before, but it's good to know it again and repeat it. You know, within 50 years, America will become majority non-white. Children under the age of 9 or 10 are already white children are a minority in their group already. That's all across the U.S. I'm not talking about places like California or Texas where, you know, it's real bad already. That's the situation. Basically, you got the same thing in France and England. They're going to be majority non-English and non-French within 50 years if the current immigration rates and demographics hold up. Now, I have had a Jewish fellow that I was arguing with once tell me that, that's not genocide. You know, replacing white people in their own nations is not genocide. Now, of course, I tried to say, well, then you would be in favor of some policies like this in, say, Africa, you know, flooding Africa with hundreds of millions of non-Africans in order to create a blended humanity in Africa. Oh, no, he's not in favor of that. So, but, you know, you start talking to this guy, he says, well, genocide is quick and dirty. What you're talking about is demographic.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
I'm reading you the Article 2 of the Convention of Prevention of the Punishment of Crime of Genocide from 1948. I'm reading it to you directly. Part C is deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. By the time you have Chad in Iowa calling for the death of his race, that someone had to write those textbooks. Someone had to, in other words, there's a social engineering program put in place to do that, and they have them at a very, very high level. I know it for a fact. I know that's all the Soviet archives are. On what these guys planned on doing to European children post-World War II. And they were, I'm sure they were talking about some before, but definitely post-World War II, they took off the gloves and been wailing on white people. It's not even debatable to the average white anymore. For instance, ethnic cleansing. Many people think ethnic cleansing has to do with murdering people. No. Ethnic cleansing is rendering an area ethnically homogenous by using force or intimidation to remove from a given area persons of another ethnic or religious group. You really got to watch these definitions, because when you get into people talk about the Kurds and Slobodan Milosevic and stuff like that, you have to understand that when you get inside of a tribunal, this stuff can be cut and dried if you get charged. It's not, most people assume that it's just firing mustard gas or something. No, it is not. If you go on the record saying you're going to wipe out a bunch of kids, you got problems if it doesn't work or something along those lines, because anyone you ethnically cleansed in any way, shape, manner, form could trigger the whole thing, and you end up, you know, like Slobodan Milosevic, you might as well kill them all. Or like Saddam Hussein and the Kurds. He didn't kill them all, but it didn't matter. These laws are some of the most ruthless stuff in the world, and that is what the big fear is over, even when it comes to Israel. They're not worried about what most people think they're worried about. They're worried about tribunals, because there's no voting in a tribunal. You get an Israeli general in a tribunal, they know. I mean, you can only imagine.
Right.
You're not walking away. Slobodan Milosevic did not get a fair tribunal because there's no such thing. And if you read the laws, if you understand what I just laid out there, it's pretty cut and dry. But they have done something very weird in trying to force. I mean, when you start talking about Sarkozy, the head of France, the head of France, if you go to DavidDuke.com and you watch his video on genocide, and he does it from a Dr. Duke perspective, he does a brilliant job of pointing out genocide and the double standard among the Jew elites, the Jew rabbit elitesters. And Sarkozy, whoa, way over the line. You can't try to force blend a population. You can't go down that road. But our message goes right to the heart of the matter. It doesn't beat around the bush with immigration, because basically there's enough non-whites in European countries to do us in through assimilation, integration, whatever. You know, Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white country for everybody.
Right, right. Let me say to my listeners out there, for the tribunal thing that he's talking about, I don't know that. You know, I can't predict the future. I think it's possible that he might be right, that Horace might be right here, that you might end up with some of our opposition ending up in a tribunal for trying to genocide us. But for me, the more short-term tactical use of this thing is that everybody out there has been conditioned that genocide is bad. And everybody out there has been conditioned that white people are bad. But when you start, contrasting those two concepts and you say, wait a minute, Africans are not, they don't have any threat of being wiped off this earth by genocide. They're the fastest growing population in the world. Chinese, you know, Asians don't have they're not going to be wiped out. They're the biggest population in the world, and they have their own nations. White people are less than 10% of the world's population, and we don't even have our own nations because white nations for everyone, like Horace just said here. So, I mean, the situation here is tactically you can look at this and you can say, all right, who's the real victims here? Because, as Horace said earlier, this thing is brainwashing that's been going on. Now, I saw a story a few months ago on Stormfront, it might have been a year ago now, about this white gal. She's one of those little kind of girls that like to do poetry and stuff like that. She goes, does her poetry thing in the inner city, and she's walking out to her car in the parking lot, and some Negro walks up to her and says, you dumb white bitch, and he pops her in the mouth and knocks her down, takes her money, and walks off, all right? Now, she comes up to her next poetry thing, and she's got her jaw wired up, and her mouth is a mass of scar tissue, and she talks about how terrible it is that now when she looks at black people, she feels afraid of them, and how racist that is of her. Now, okay, if you look on the face of that, how idiotic it is, and how brainwashed a person, because she's not an isolated case. You know, this stuff happens all the time. You know,
sure, white rabbits sitting there forgiving the black rabbits for murdering their daughter and raping her in front of them.
Yeah, and then say, well, you know, I don't have any hatred towards you people. You know, I mean, obviously you're dealing with people that are in some sort of brainwashed trance. And it's not just some sort. It's not some secret thing. We don't know what's going on. It's out there. It's in the textbooks. I mean, the white guilt permeates every aspect of media and academia out there.
What is important to understand about a consistent message and pointing it out is our enemy is most vulnerable under the charge of genocide. Many elements in the Arab world actually are onto this. That's why you had the leader of Iran, Ahmadinejad, talking about the Holocaust and how this has been used to try to harm European children. They know that getting them on Israel or something like that, getting some of the elites of Anglosphere on Israel is not where the soft part is. The soft spot is genocide of actual European children. It's just so weird. It's so weird. That no one get their hands on it. But let me explain to you that this is what they are really worried about, this type of consistent message. simply because they're so vulnerable to it. You can't try to replace your own people and have it not work. And if you're $100 trillion in the hole in America, it didn't work. You failed. We're still here. Granted, they're a little upset and out there, and you have a demoralized population, but they are rapidly coming out of that. The internet is now 15 years old. 15 years under new media basically halts any type of programming going on in society. That's all it takes. But of course, it's either rearrange the textbooks for 15 years, and for your audience, those that have never heard me before, it takes 15, 20 years to demoralize a population, because that's how long it takes to put a little white rabbit to basically educate a generation. That's what it takes. And the key process of demoralization is to bring a white rabbit to a state that, despite an abundance of true information, of actual facts, that white rabbit is incapable of defending himself, herself, their family, their race, their loved ones, their country. It is a great brainwashing technique, and the first step is very, very slow. It takes 15 to 20 years, but once that's done, you don't have to destroy society. They'll do it for you. But what it takes to come out of that is either redo the textbooks for 15 to 20 years, like they've done in Russia, or you get a new media. We got lucky. We got a brand new media, and things started seeping in, and that's why you're listening.
Well, and as you've pointed out before, as soon as the internet came out, it was like a floodgate of sites come out talking about the Jews, talking about racial issues.
Jews going to get you down. I mean, we have martinlutherking.org.
Right.
Don Black owns it.
Yeah, Don Black owns it. I mean, we own this new media.
We own the message on Martin Luther King. That's kind of wild.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of people are very upset about that at the UN and stuff like that, but it's like a floodgate, but it's rather entertaining. But, yeah, we own the net. Now it's just taking it to the next step.
Right, and now, you know, I want to jump in here. I want to say one more last thing about this genocide talking point before I go, because, you know, as you mentioned, among every group you have a few hardcore anti-white political correctness officers that'll try and intimidate anybody who stands up for white folks. But among every group, you will have a few white kids that are inherently racial. Now, most whites are not racial by nature. I mean, most whites are colorblind. That's kind of how we are. But there will be a few that, especially in a school where, you know, racial reality is smacking in the head in the hallway.
Oh, right. Right now, where before you would have one in a group, now you're going to have five or six that are extremely racially aware for some reason. And I talk about this in negative conditioning, and different things we do. We do some interesting thing. You know, again, if you start asking why we do this, why do your neighbors think they're racist, evil racists? Well, why did your ancestors think they were evil sinners going to burn in hell? I mean, white rabbits have a tendency. We have some very unique tendencies that can be taken advantage of one way or another. But we go for this certain types of conditioning that's called negative conditioning. They will think horrible things about themselves.
Yeah, we're real susceptible to that. But I want to say to you know, if you're one of those people in every group of 10 or whatever that is inherently racial, and you're standing up saying, this is bull crap, I'm not backing down from this stuff anymore, you're probably one of the people on Stormfront. You're the ones that end up on there quicker than anybody else, and you may be listening to this show right now. And that's why I'm telling you about this talking point that you can use on genocide. Because if you stand up in a group of white people and you start talking about black crime, then they're going to say, well, you're a racist, well, you're a Nazi. You know,
in your opinion.
Right. And you come back with that talking point. You say, you're in your opinion, you're just saying that because I'm white. You know, if I was black, you wouldn't be saying that. But
it's just in your opinion. They'll call you racist, and your response is, in your opinion, I'm racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white, and you say it over and over again. You're a Nazi. Your daddy's a neo-Nazi. In your opinion, my daddy's a neo-Nazi. You're just saying it because he's white. Anti-racism or neo-Nazi Ku Klux Klan. Anti-racism is just something you say to every white person over and over again. It's just something to say back. And also the whole entire mantra. And of course on whiterabbitradio.net, I have a whole talking point. You can listen to White Rabbit Genocide, which is our mantra, our consistent message as applied to the indigenous white rabbits of Europe.
What I'm saying to people out there is that, you know, like I was talking to a gal a little while ago, and she was talking about how do you talk back to these anti-white racists or whatever, you know, these anti-whites are our opposition. How do you rebut them or whatever. You know, and I went through the mantra and I gave examples of how to do it. But, you know, she wasn't really that confrontational. And she says, I don't know that I can pull that off. I said, well, don't worry about it then. When you're in a conversation and people are complaining about immigration or something, they're talking about Mexicans flying across the border, just say, you know, I bet you if this was going on in Africa, they'd call it genocide. You know,
not everyone is good at a consistent message. If you go into maybe you have one of these environmental groups in the area like Clean Water, and they will be going around getting signatures to get something passed at the local legislature. They will have a very professional group write their talking points. Some will read those talking points and to you at the door, and others are very slick. They'll make it their own. Everyone is different. You know, you can read, any white rabbit can say, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. That alone is revolutionary. It's the simple things that work. People always say, you know, the masses are asses. Well, the reason the masses are asses is because we're all susceptible to sound. For instance, I just had something dance in my head, you know, have it your way, a Burger King commercial, and I haven't had Burger King in months. Nothing wrong with them, but I haven't had it in months. And this stuff just permeates. Or let's say make a run for the border. What ways am I talking about there?
Taco Bell.
There you go. Now, I don't like Taco Bell. I'm not crazy about it, but I'd eat it if I were hungry. And, you know, this stuff will just dance in your head. The way it works is repetition, and you can't unhear something, unfortunately.
Right. And so, you know, one of the first things people ask me when they come on Storefront, and I like to welcome new people on Storefront, and they say, what can I do? Where can I get involved? What can I do? Well, you can get on these little talking points, and you can start hitting them. And a lot of these talking points, you can use them anywhere. You can use them in church. You know, you can use them in Germany where they got laws against saying stuff. You can use these things anywhere, short little things you can punch them with.
Yeah, they have a team that has put it together that is unique because there's no time. Usually an environmental group will have a talking point at a local level. It won't be quite the same as a national level, and it'll be totally different in France. However, this stuff, Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everybody. It is said that there is this race problem. They say this race problem will be solved when the third world pours into every white country and only into white countries. The Netherlands and Belgium are as crowded as Japan or Taiwan, but no one says Japan or Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and quote-unquote unsimulating with them. Everyone says this final solution to the race problem is for every white country and only white countries to assimilate, intermarry with all these non-whites. What if I said there was a race problem, and this race problem will be solved only if hundreds of millions of non-Africans were brought into every African country and only into African countries? How long would it take for anyone to realize I'm not talking about a race problem? I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem. How long would it take for any sane black man to notice this? What type of psycho-African man wouldn't object to this? But if I tell that obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the indigenous white rabbits of Europe, liberals, respectable conservatives agree that I'm a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. They say they are anti-racist. What they are is anti-white, and what they call for is genocide. All our stuff revolves around the mantra, and it works.
Yeah, that's the full mantra right there. But, you know, you use this, you don't use that whole thing all at once. You use it in bits and pieces, and you turn it around, and you flip it upside down, and you make it creative.
Well, actually, I do read it. It depends on the group situation. I will read it. Just like I saw that the one of the best practitioners is old Bob Whitaker sitting on Fox News, read the whole thing. He'll do it. He'll just sit and read it over and over. When they were fighting the communists, what they would do is read stuff like this over and over again in debate and demand to know why they had to have machine guns to keep people into communist country. Which is kind of funny. If they're so wonderful, why do you have to have machine guns at the border to keep people in?
Or you know, you can throw that around here in the U.S. You know, if diversity is so great and if, you know, it's obvious that racists are evil, then how come you have to have diversity programs? How come you have to have public service messages? How come you have to have billboards that say the only thing worth hating is hate itself? How come you have to?
Because it's a program. It's a program of genocide. It is a clear and consistent targeting. I mean, no one is flooding Turkey with non-Turks and saying, you know what, for four centuries you murdered, raped, and killed Europeans, so we're going to create a blended humanity in only Turkey. No one's flooding Saudi Arabia with non-Arabs and saying, you know what, for centuries ago you destroyed the Persian Empire and murdered all the Zoroastrian priests and their culture, so we're going to create a blended humanity in only Saudi Arabia. no one's flooding China with non-Chinese and saying, you know what, 300 BC, you destroyed some Uyghur empire, so we're going to create a blended humanity only China. Only white children are doing this. Only white leaders are supporting this. Only white children are affected by this. It's genocide.
It is, and
you just pointed out over and over again, but what works is repetition. When in doubt, you can go with the full mantra, but I have a whole slew of talking points at whiterabbitradio.net, all revolving around the mantra. And, one of the reasons I'm in character is because I know most white rabbits don't have anyone trying to help them out without motives. It's very rare. I mean, you label all the leaders for the indigenous white rabbits of Europe across the whole entire planet that are out in the open, that are working for you out in the open. There's not that many. And I don't want you thinking that you can't use these because they're mine. They're not mine. They're ours. So that's why I call myself Horace the Avenger. I'm obviously not really a white rabbit.
You're not.
You get some people that actually think I'm real or something. But no, that's why we're doing this. It's a very unique situation.
Well, you know, the thing is these talking points, you can use them anywhere, any place, and you can mix them up. And one of the best ways to use them is to flip around whatever anybody's saying and try to place it on Africa and see if it works there. Like if they have
Lord Nelson does that brilliantly.
Yeah, that's who I learned it from, you know, because you know, it's like if they're saying, well, you know, we need to have multiculturalism, we all need to get along and everybody needs to marry in with each other and make this blended humanity, whatnot, you say, all right, well then, you know, do we need to do that in Nigeria? Do we need to do that in Zaire, you know? Do we need to do this in Africa? I mean,
in white countries, and that's where the problem comes in. They've tried to actually turn this off. The problem is that what you face is a situation in reverse. You have a group so far gone that they are arguing outright for genocide. Really, that's what they're arguing for, and you can't even turn them off because remember I said after 15 to 20 years, true information won't mean anything. Well, there's another side of the equation. True information won't mean anything. These people calling up arguing for genocide of white children, and they're white. You can't really do anything about it. It's gotten so bad in America. You have a shooting on a military base simply because they weren't armed. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the point there is, you know, you got soldiers without guns because the government doesn't trust them enough to have guns on their own military base. Makes them so susceptible that some Arab nut job can get on there and mow down a bunch of our soldiers, which happened a few months ago.
Simply because, I mean, the idea that soldiers could get shot on a military base because one of them didn't have a gun, that's kind of odd. This is one of the problems behind the scenes for certain elements in Anglosphere. You cannot wage war with this stuff. It's just impossible.
Right. There's
political correctness, and they have to wage war, which is kind of funny.
There's so many disconnects with what they're trying to put out there. The whole thing is going downhill. I mean, they can try to put across gay rights in California, and it gets voted down because the heavily non-white California, the Mexicans want nothing to do with homosexuals, blacks want nothing to do with homosexuals, and you have these anti-whites that are trying to push homosexuality and minority rights, and these Mexicans and these Africans are saying, well, we don't want anything to do with gays, and you know what, we don't need white people representing us anymore, we're going to elect a Mexican to represent us.
What you're going into is ethnic politics, where every group's going to have its own spokesman around the world, which is good.
It is good. And that's,
see, that's the challenge to the elites. This is what they're really worried about. They are not in a position at all when you go into the United Kingdom, Australia, or America. They are extremely vulnerable to something like a Russian, German, Italian access taking their gene pool because we have a lot of land. And things can happen. That is where the fear has come in. I mean, a lot of fear. And they would have no problems with taking the best and brightest and then calling tribunals and being a hero, because the Mexicans really don't care if white social engineers out of London get hanged. Africans don't care. They know that. That's one of the problems here. So that is, you know, they're vulnerable. Basically, anytime the king of the Zulus tries to replace the Zulus and blend them out of existence, you're going to be pretty vulnerable at a certain point in time. It's just not going to work.
Right, and you know, I mean, this whole thing's...
It may destroy a country, but it ain't going to work.
Right, and I mean, basically, you know, I'm not going to change the world here. Horace is not going to change the world. We're just giving
sure
you
we
guys.
Are. Sure we are.
Well, I'm not going to change. Well, maybe you are, Horace, but you know, my goal.
We're not going to be able to change the racial nature of whites, but you can move them along with a consistent message.
Yeah, I mean, basically, my goal is to give my listeners some talking points, some tools, and hear that noise out there, that sound that gives you hope. I mean. You know, I tell you, way back in the struggles between some of the folks in England, you know, the Irish and the Scottish and stuff like that, one of the things that the winning side, who was usually the English, used to do is they would ban their opponents over there from playing music. They'd take away their instruments and everything like that because they understood the power of sound. They understood that, you know, if you got some kick-butt rally songs and stuff, it's easy to get people fired up. And that's how powerful sound is. And so just by tuning into Stormfront Radio, just by listening to Follow the White Rabbit, just by informing yourself and getting some information from people who like us, people who are on our side, you know, you need that, man, because you can't unhear things. You sit in a college classroom, and you might say, well, I know about white genocide. I know the truth about things. But you're listening to a bunch of Marxist multicultural drivel from some professor up there, it's going to get in your head. You can't unhear it, which is why you have to balance it out, which is why you need to learn the talking points, and you need to keep hitting this stuff, repetition, as Horace says, time and time and time again.
Well, the vast majority of white rabbits have no interest in being anything other than white rabbits. That's why they're still white rabbits. The vast majority of African rabbits have no interest in anything else. Mexicans like their own culture. The only groups on Earth the only one in the history of the world that has tried to wipe out their own people are a white rabbit. It's very unique. It's very weird, you know. They want a blended humanity in only white rabbit holes.
Right. And, you know, one of the interesting things about that, as you said, that is racial. Only the white race does that. But, right. You know, one of the interesting...
It's not the race. Our race has a problem at the leadership position at the top, and it is coming to a head. That is very unnatural stuff. For lack of a better word, Russia has went a totally different line on this stuff, especially over the last X many years under the Russian nationalist theme. But it is specifically in France and Anglosphere and parts of Western civilization. But it's very unique. We have very unique traits.
You know, to my listeners out there, if anything that Horace talks about intrigues you a little bit, listen to his shows. Now, I mean, I got to tell you, when I first listened to his shows, there was a lot of the stuff that he talked about that I wasn't quite buying it, but I started seeing patterns developing, and I started looking at news, and all of a sudden things would jump out at me, and I'm starting to see a pattern that he's talking about jumping out. And, you know, whether he's right on every single point or not, he's seeing the overall picture. He's stepping back and he's got perspective on things. You know, when he talks about Russia, what's going on over there in Russia, you know, things started clicking in my head. Boy, David Duke spends a lot of time in Russia. And isn't he dating some Russian gal? Then today I'm flipping through a men's journal magazine that somebody brought into my business. And it's talking about Mel Gibson there. Now he's dating this Russian gal now. And we know Mel Gibson is not the biggest fan of Jewish propaganda and stuff. So, you know, I'm starting to look at this stuff, and then I start seeing, well, I remember when Putin was coming to power, and he come up with these oligarchs, and then he started throwing them in prison one at a time. You start seeing these patterns developing. So, you know, give a listen to Horace, because, I mean, you know, he's seeing some patterns that I don't see, and that's why I listen to him.
Well, it is, you know, basically the objective of the show is to expose white rabbit genocide and to put you on a consistent message and at the same time entertain you and give you, it's a radical different look than what most white nationalists have seen. And in fact, there's a percentage that will never like it. It is not geared toward paleo conservative or white nationalists per se. Not that I exclude them. I think they're wonderful, but I want a much, much broader audience, and that's what we're going after, with some different tools and different areas we're going into. But it is unique. But you know, putting you on a consistent message is not really that difficult. Typically, an environmental group just hands out talking points, and consistent messages, the basics aren't idealistic. I say I'm not idealistic, you just think someone like me is. If I'm teaching you the basics, there's nothing idealistic. If you don't have a consistent message, you can't do anything. In other words, if those environmental groups don't have those agencies in Washington and whatnot, usually they donate time to them, or if they don't hire them and pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars, you can't go anywhere. This stuff is designed to work, and that's what you kind of need to understand. It's written in stone. If you don't have a consistent message, you can't go anywhere, and you got to have one and be on one.
Right, and the consistent
faith, shape, matter, form.
And the consistent message you need to hit on out there is the genocide one. I mean, that's what's being perpetrated against us, and there's really no defense against that. People will try to lead you on to different arguments. Don't buy it. Just keep bringing them back to the genocide issue. They're helpless against it. Just keep bashing them with it, and that'll work for you. And if you're on Stormfront because you find the ideas intriguing, I know there's people on Stormfront they're interested with Nazis. They think that Hitler was kind of cool and this and that. And they don't really feel the threat. Maybe they live in a white suburb or whatever, and it's not a real thing to them. It's just an idea they play around with at night, sometimes on their computer. If you're like that, man, travel, brother. Get out to different parts of the country and look at the difference between Great Falls, Montana, and San Antonio, Texas. Get out into some of those multicultural neighborhoods and understand how real race is. And once you're at that point, and I know a lot of you guys, people already are at that point, you know that this isn't a game, it's not ideas we're playing with, it's an issue of survival. Then you're less interested in historical facts, you're less interested in trivia, you're less interested in, different history. You're more interested in give me a tool I can use right here, right now, and that's what those talking points are.
Well, that's basically what my job is to put you on a consistent message, at the same time entertain you, and to go after an audience that wants to be on a consistent message or wants to attack the system in the most violent way you can right now. And that is, anytime you're on a consistent message, especially if it's written by the people behind the mantra, it is revolutionary. In nature, a sound is very dynamic. It is something widely underestimated, but at the same time, if you think about it, your very intelligent neighbor fell for that "oh yes we can" from Obama, and now he wishes he wouldn't have. it'll do that to you. Sound will sneak up on you.
Hypnotists hypnotize with sound. You look at where we're at today, where you literally have probably the majority of white folks who at least go through the politically correct motions of saying that they're in favor of our genocide, that they're in favor of flooding our nation with non-whites. How did we get from that? We weren't always like that. 100 years ago, the average American would have been considered what they call a racist today. So how did we get like that? It wasn't by somebody putting a gun to people's heads. It was through words. It was through sound. That's how you can win it back, too. That's what they're afraid of now, is you speaking. There's guys out there with these fantasies of doing violent things, deal and steal. You know what? That's just what they want right now. They want you to go shoot somebody or blow something up because go ahead.
Basically, you're in a closed society. A closed society is a society like the Soviet Union was, where they say we own the truth on a particular issue, and you have to agree with us or go to jail or lose your job. And they say they own the truth on race and diversity and multiculturalism and miscegenation, all that kind of stuff, in only white children's homes, in only white children's countries, and only white leaders are doing it. So it is a closed society, but no closed society, for some reason or another, no closed society has ever been brought down through bombs. The Yugoslavia has happened after the fact. The Berlin Wall was brought down through a consistent message.
Yeah.
That's all it was. It was sound. Sound will do that. When it's time to go, it'll go. And that is what's so dynamic with sound. But no one's ever brought down a Berlin Wall through bombs. It has to be done through sound.
Yeah, I mean, look, sound. I think a lot of you guys know that the military power is powerful, nuclear bombs and stuff. Sound is more powerful than that. I know a lot of you guys know that money's powerful. You can buy up a lot of stuff. You can buy up media and things like that. A consistent message is more powerful than that. You get a meme out there, it goes viral. It goes over the internet. You've seen them all in workplaces. Horace was talking about, the run for the border or these little catchphrases the fast food places put out. I know all my friends that used to work on construction sites and stuff. You know these little catchphrases that'll be from a movie or something, and somebody will throw them around the job site. Pretty soon they're bouncing around the entire job site. You know, and
like the talk, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. In your opinion is a constant, it's a constant reframing. It is something to say. It's a nana, nana, nana. I've had people email me saying that they didn't know whether to love me or hate me, but how catchy it is, because they got kids going around going, in your opinion, it's my bedtime. It works. This stuff worked. But the big challenge in a closed society is timing. And that is a challenge. We've been underneath the new media for 15 years, and that's why most people are surfing Stormfront and all that kind of stuff like that. So it's time for change, as the man says. But we want a different type of change than the Taliban. Don't ever underestimate sound, because the stuff is catchy, and it is what is feared. Consistent message is always feared, because that's where everything begins. And then networks form off that and other things like that. But that's where it all begins with. If you don't have a consistent message, you can't go anywhere. In any type of endeavor, period. It's kind of like having a great ad, but you don't want to play it over and over again. Well, that's not really how things work. You know, we will hear that Taco Bell commercial till hell freezes over. You know, that's how that works. If you got something hot, you go it over and over again.
Right, and it doesn't, you know, you're right. People don't get tired of it. After a while, it becomes a touchstone. I can remember when, as I was a little kid, you know, I didn't have television at my house, but I used to go over to my grandparents' house, and way back in the day, the old Budweiser ads where they say, give me a light, you know, and the guy, you know, throws him like a light bulb or something like that, you know, and it says, no, a Bud Light, you know. And those, I mean, I must have been like 10 years old when I saw those commercials, and they still stick in my head today. And if I drink a Budweiser beer, that's probably one of the reasons why, you know. So.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, everyone listening to this has been shut down or has lost out something in this world because someone yelled racism, or you were afraid of someone yelling racism because maybe you could lose your job or whatever. What we're doing is returning the favor. We're doing the same thing. I mean, this word racism just can paralyze a whole society. I mean, we even have non-Europeans in America being paralyzed by the word racist. The Koreans are worried about race, you know, everyone. But it you can do the same thing in reverse. It's time to do that, and you do it just with a consistent message. You just have to have someone very talented to write this stuff for you. And that's of course what why Taco Bell and all those guys, why the Obama campaign paid fortunes for their message. Yeah, they pay the groups a lot of money. A lot of money. Some of those guys over at WhitakerOnline.org, that's what they've done for a living, is write consistent messages. But this is very unique. This is geared for a particular type of society and an untypical type of situation. But at the same time, it's the same concept as just a consistent message that you have the local environmental group will be on. And they'll do it over and over again. And it's no problem. It's just a matter of getting it out there and repeating it. But repetition is a key.
Right, and you have to know a little bit about the psychology of white folks, which a lot of white people don't know their own psychology. I mean, obviously you do. You talked about how we're susceptible to negative conditioning. And that's one of the reasons why the genocide talking point works. I mean, when you use a talking point, and it you know, one of the things it has to do for us is, since we're not naturally racial, it has to give you a sense of righteousness. And there's something about when you say, well, look, Jim, I don't understand, why aren't you upset about our genocide? You know, you say you don't care. This genocide's ongoing. How can you be ambivalent about it? Or you know, you say to Jawan, the African guy, you say, you know, Jawan, you know, I'm not trying to wipe out Africans. You know, why would you support these policies? They're killing my people. You know?
Well, you get around them. I say it's not an African problem because no one's flooding. I mean, Africans have 50-plus countries in the world. Africans have well over half the world's natural resources. Africans are now the most populous people on the planet. They're more populous than even the Asians. Africans have the greatest piece of farmland the world has ever known, Africa. They live with me as a minority. I am a minority. There's not much more I can do for you other than make you president. I mean, we're just trying to get a home here. It has nothing to do with Africans. It's not an African problem. I mean, if you know, if you expect us to come down in Haiti, I mean, we just can't do anything more for them. They're going to have to start admitting reality. Now, there's plenty they can do for themselves, maybe, but we are not the solution to their problems, obviously.
No, I mean, look, like you said, we've made an African president of the United States. There's not much more we can do for these people. And, you know, if they try to say that you're a racist, you're a hater, you know, this isn't about black people. This is not about Asian people.
They will always put into an ethnic conflict mode. They want it black on white or black. What we want is white on pink rabbit. White rabbit on rabbits that look like us that have no loyalty to us in sticking points. And there's one. There's one in Palm Beach that kept Derek Black from taking his seat. There's only ever one in these 269 area codes in America. There will only be one. And there will only probably be one good anti-racist for any region, much less a state. But, you know, they're there for the money, basically. Half of them and the other half are there because they're heavily programmed. But we're looking to counter that. And believe it or not, that's all it takes is 269 listeners on a consistent message. You'd be amazed at how much damage you can do. With just sound. That's the Berlin Wall, I don't think, was brought down with that many people. Believe it or not, it's just a consistent message that went out. And it was time.
Right. And I mean, you know it in your gut when it's the time's right and when it's working and when you feel, you know, you feel good about it. And you know, I know a lot of white nationalists on Stormfront stuff, you know, they like to sit around and say, oh, ain't it bad? Ain't it terrible? You know, did you see this thing about this black raped white girl, this and that? You know, it's, oh, no.
I've seen it my whole entire life.
Right, right. And I know there's a certain bit of self-righteousness and there's a certain bit of satisfaction from sitting around and saying and talking about how bad it is. But you know what feels really good? To win. It feels really good to go in and have a message that you can just beat your opposition with relentlessly. It's a lot more fun than talking about how much you're losing. It's a lot more fun to go in there and say, hey, why are you in favor of my genocide? And make it personal. You know, don't say the system, don't say the establishment, don't say the liberals. They say, you, Jim, you know, why are you attacking me on racial grounds? In your opinion, I'm a racist. You know, that's only you saying that because I'm white. You know, it feels good to have the angels on your side, to have righteousness on your side, and go in there and start bopping these suckers with it.
Yeah, what they will do, they will fall into a double defense because they're a program. They will say this is not genocide. Then read them the act. You can find out. I mean, I just gave you genocide and ethnic cleansing, the actual definition. But then you will catch them justifying it, you know, like the United Kingdom. Well, you deserve to have immigration and this happened because of colonialism. You know, you can't say you're not pro-white genocide and now say you're trying to harm European children, just something from the past. You can't have it both ways. You can't say you're not something and that you're going forward with something because of something they did in the past. They want it both ways. They can't have it both ways. They're going to have to justify genocide.
Right, right. If they say for some reason
and
white
if
people...
If they say, you will have heavily programmed whites all day. There's a handful on every campus that'll say, yeah, I want whites to be genocide. Yeah, I want whites to do... You just act like you can't hear them and ask them to repeat it louder.
Yeah.
And make them do it three or four times. It's funny. White people, all the blacks, what is this guy, crazy? Yes, that's what you're doing. You're just using simple tactics against them the same way they've done you for the years.
Right, and you know, you could say, all right, so you're in favor of our genocide. Would you think this form of genocide would be okay to be used on Africans or on Asians? No, only white people deserve this. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that you're saying that you're only in favor of this genocide method of flooding a nation with hundreds of millions of non-natives is only acceptable when used on white people. That's right. Well, so you're not using it on Africans is not fair. Only using this method of genocide on white people. That's right. Just make them keep repeating it.
Yeah, and by and large, you know, you do not have to be very savvy. In some of my programs, I do some very, what you know, some ad lib type things where you know, I go on a consistent message from a couple different angles. You don't have to be a Bill Clinton. I remember watching one of the old communist fighters, and Bob Whitaker was in this group. And they would get up with a consistent message and just read it over and over again and then make them justify their position. They wouldn't do anything other than, like, Bob, the only thing you will ever see Bob Whitaker do, and he's done it on Fox News, is read the mantra. That's all it takes.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I disagree with you on this, Horace. I disagree with you on the mantra. I mean, that works for Bob. You know, God bless Bob for doing that and stuff like that. But I actually believe it's a lot better if you get around. I mean, you got to know the mantra. You got to know it by heart, and you got to understand the concepts there. But then you can use it in a lot more different flexible sort of ways. Also, on the issue of definition of white genocide or definition of genocide, you know, I've heard that thing read, and it is interesting if you got somebody who's intellectually honest. But, you know, like when I was arguing with this Jew about it, you know, I didn't try to define it by the 1948 convention or whatever. I just said to him, genocide is the destruction of the race. You can call it demographic change and make it sound nicer, but when you're talking about destroying a race, it's genocide. And that's easy for an average person to understand.
Oh, sure, but, you know, it really depends. You know, I have enough in my particular MP3s for any type of conversation that you enter into. Everyone has a different style, but for the average listener says, look, I just want a talking point to read. There's nothing wrong with reading the mantra in front of a group. I'm just telling you that. Because that's all a lot of people are doing in, like, Northern Europe and stuff like that, and it does work. But I'm just giving you an example. You can make something your own. David Duke did a video on the difference between Sarkozy calling for genocide. He did a video on genocide. It's one of his best videos ever. And, you know, that's the only cardinal sin is not mentioning genocide, but he doesn't do the mantra. He makes it his own.
No, but where's that video at, DavidDuke.com?
It's on DavidDuke.com. It's on my Twitter. If you go to WhiteRabbitRadio.net and hit my Twitter button, if you hit the Twitter button, you will go to my Twitter, and the link is there for what I think is the best David Duke video ever. You know, it stopped the genocide of European mankind on YouTube. But, you know, when you're playing the game in front of you like we do, we can be on our consistent message. We don't have to worry about doing anything illegal. We don't toe the line on that. You know, if you say I am a racist in the United Kingdom, funny things are going to happen to you. If you say in your opinion I'm a racist, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. If you say stuff like that, there's nothing they can do about it.
That's exactly right.
They don't like things like the mantra, but there's nothing they can do about it. You're playing under the rules. But David Duke did an amazing video on genocide over a 9-minute. It points out, and that's what his thing is, pointing out the double standards among the Jewish supremacist elites, the Jew rabbit elites. And he does a brilliant job, and he mentions he does a brilliant job. He does a law. He has a law up there. It is a good video. It's the best video he's ever done.
Yeah, I agree that the mantra can be good in a certain setting like that. My issue with it is this. If you recite the mantra in any, you know, average circumstance with Joe Blow, you know, your average guy there, it's going to go right over his freaking head.
Well, no, it will not. No, it will not. That this stuff permeates. That's the way it's designed. Like, for instance, if you're at a dinner, if you're eating dinner and you got a bunch of people around the table and everyone's talking slow, you can do it. On the other hand, if you have some fast-talking guy like Horace the Avenger, you might have to – I have some different techniques, and you've heard my show where
right.
I work this stuff in. But you will be – believe it or not, it is affecting them on a deep, deep level. You're putting them in another type of trance. The stuff works. There is a science behind the mantra, and the group that put it together – and guys like Bob, that's what they've done their whole entire life, and this is like one of their magnum opuses. So it does work. It is hypnotic. But if they start glazing over and act like they didn't hear you, they not only heard you, you're working on a deep, deep level.
Well, you're probably right. You probably are hitting them on a subconscious level.
Trust me, we know a little bit about this, but it really depends on the situation. You are right. You have to feel your way through, and that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. We got like 2 minutes left on the show, man, so we got to wrap it up. But, well, you know, I'll give you my personal experience with it. First time I read the mantra was on Stormfront. And by Bob Whitaker's posts there, you know, he used to post it regularly. And I'll tell you what, man, I, you know, consider myself somewhat racially aware and everything. It went right over my head, man. I read it. I did not comprehend it. I read it again. I still did not comprehend. Now, you're right. It's probably hitting me on a subconscious level. But for like a year, I read that thing, and I did not comprehend it. Okay?
Well, most people, it couldn't be generational of understanding this stuff simply because – you know, a lot of people didn't fully understand it until they listened to Horace the Vendor's File the White Rabbit, yeah, and then they went back and listened to him. It really depends on the generational type thing. But let me tell you something. There is a Yahoo News group that's one of my listeners, one of Bob's listeners, came up with. And if you go to WhitakerOnline.org, that's WhitakerOnline.org, you're going to see a post down on February 14th called The Original Mantra Group. And this stuff has been posted so many times online that someone on Yahoo said, you must be from Bugs.
Right.
Bob's Underground Graduate Seminar. So we don't really know the effect of multiple posts, but it does have an effect. You can't unhear or unread something, but you know it works like an ad. But the more it's out there, the more dangerous it becomes. But if they didn't hear, if you think they didn't hear you, not only did they hear you, you did a great job.
Right.
You know, that's what you want. You want to start affecting them to where they act like it's not affecting them. Kind of like when someone shut you down by yelling racism, but you didn't realize until 10 minutes after.
Right.
That type of thing. That's what you're dealing with on this stuff. But most people, sound is very, very dynamic and very violent. I mean, all the times the listeners out there have been upset in their life is when someone really said something to them that got underneath their skin.
That's right. And you know what? You upset a lot of people and you inspire them a lot, Horace. And I thank you for doing your show. I love it. Huge fan. We're out of time, man.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. To the listeners out there, my voice will be better next week. Until then, walk tall, stay proud, don't give them an inch.